In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
He is the future of the Washington Capitals now, the first round draft pick in 2019 after a monster season at London. When will he be in a Caps uniform? That is the question everyone wants to know. What's up, Caps fans? Welcome to another edition of the Capitol Building Podcast. I am your host, Rob Carlin. We are part of Blue Wire Podcast. And as always, we ask you to download and subscribe, leave a rating, write a review. All helps get the word out about the Capitol Building Podcast. He is Connor McMichael, not Connor McDavid. I often make that mistake, and I don't even realize when I say one name and I mean the other, but it's Connor McMichael of, where he is now, actually, is in Red Deer under quarantine at the World Junior Development Camp waiting for the World Junior Tournament to start. They had some positive cases of COVID, so now they're trying to get back on the ice and get ready for that tournament, and I reached out, and he was kind enough to give us a little bit of time here on the Capitol Building Podcast, and you can hear a difference. I remember last year getting to talk to him a little bit when he was, you know, he's a first round draft pick. He's coming into Caps camp. There's Ovi, there's Backstrom, there's Oshie. I think he maybe was a little overwhelmed and his personality wasn't going to come out because his answers were very quick, thoughtful, but quick. This is a different kid now. This is a kid who, played one World Juniors already, who had a monster season at London, who is now feeling more and more like a can't miss rather than, you know, what will happen one day. So, he's a fun interview. You'll hear his thoughts on Dale Hunter and playing for him and the hard lessons he's learned. And these are lessons that Dale Hunter used to try and get Alex Ovechkin to learn of playing a 200-foot game. And, you know, that entire team that year that Dale Hunter was here, and we all remember how ugly the style was, but it won. And 16-year-old Connor McMichael probably didn't appreciate it. 20-year-old Connor McMichael gets it a little bit more. And I think there's no doubting that Dale Hunter has helped the development of Connor McMichael and made him into a much more complete player, made him on the cusp now of being an NHL player. So you'll hear his thoughts on his coach from London and who was also his coach last year at the World Juniors. Plus, I quiz him on a couple of the different superstars in the league to give me scouting reports and how he would compare his shot to Alex Ovechkin's shot. And really, no one can do that. He was smart enough to realize that. It's a fun interview. Get another chance to get to know the future of the Caps and Connor McMichael. So here now is my conversation with the Caps 2019 first rounder. Well, this whole thing of, COVID just kind of affecting everything and stopping everything has got you guys now in the camp. How frustrating is this to get a start and then stop?
Yeah, it was obviously exciting getting back into the things, the thick of things in camp and just skating with the team again and being able to get back on the ice. And then obviously COVID interrupted again. And, now we're just in a quarantine and hoping to get things going after our 14 days here.
What do you guys do during the quarantine? Stuck in a hotel in Red Deer?
A lot of Netflix, some video games, just trying to keep yourself busy. You just find little things to do. We got teams of workouts over Zoom in the mornings. They gave us some stationary bikes, so we've been riding that a bit. So, yeah, like I said, you're just trying to find things to do.
What's your Netflix go-to right now? Are you down a rabbit hole with any particular show?
I'm watching Schitt's Creek right now. Kind of get into that one. So yeah, I like that one.
My wife got absolutely obsessed with that show, and literally every time I walked in the room, she'd be quoting it to me. I'm like, I'm not watching the show. None of it's funny to me. She loved it.
Yeah, I like it a lot too.
So before I get to you, which I know is probably one of your least favorite things to talk about, Let me ask you about Hendrix LaPierre. Did you know him at all before this camp started?
No, I've never met him before. I never played alongside him or against him or anything. So just a couple weeks ago when we first got here, it was my first time meeting him. And he seems like a really good kid. And I hope we'll get along well.
Had you heard about his game at all? Is it, do you guys know about the top players everywhere else?
Yeah, well, just talking to guys that I know that are his age from the 2002 group, they've said a lot of great things about him. And just the Capitals organization has told me a lot of great things about him. So I'm happy he got drafted to Washington, and he seems like a really good kid and a really good player, obviously. So, yeah, it should be fun.
So obviously you don't have much time to see him, and you're probably focusing on a lot of things in the camp, but did anything about his game jump out at you at your first sight?
Yeah, he's really intelligent. He's good with the puck. He's, like I said, his biggest attribute seems to be intelligence, and he's really good with the puck. He's great at making plays. So I think he's more of a playmaker and I'm more of a goal scorer. So hopefully we can work well together.
When you say he's an intelligent player, what about his game makes you use that word?
Yeah, just when he has the puck on his stick, when there's not too many plays to be made, it seems like he's able to find holes and he's able to find his teammates. So he uses his skills and kind of goes outside of the box and uses different creativity. So you can tell he's a smart player.
When you see a player like that, what's your appreciation level? Because greatness – inspires greatness. Greatness, you can have an eye for it. I remember, and I always switch sports when I tell this, but like Larry Bird, when he was coaching the Indiana Pacers, used to say it was frustrating because the players he was coaching couldn't do what he could do and couldn't see what he could see. When you see a player of that level that's able to get that word out of you of intelligence, are you able to appreciate that he's seeing things that maybe other kids don't see at his age?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, I feel like I'm a really intelligent player as well. I feel like my biggest attribute is obviously my shot and my hockey sense. So I love seeing other players that are really smart with the puck and are able to get around the ice just using intelligence. So, yeah, like you said, I appreciate it greatly watching him play. And I hope he develops some good chemistry.
You talked about yourself being a goal scorer, and I guess it's kind of becoming like a little bit of a famous story now that you called your goal last year and you said you want to go top shelf. What were the exact words? You want to visit the top shelf or something like that?
Yeah, we're just joking around in practice with Delandry a bunch. So I knew we were nervous before a game, so I just told him when I get the puck I'm going to introduce myself in the back bar.
and it's crazy, like that's exactly what happened. Did you know the moment you snapped it off, oh my god, I called my shot?
No, I actually kind of forgot about it until I got back to the bench and he brought it back up. So that was really funny how it just worked out. I was obviously just making a joke, trying to get rid of the nerves. And it's just funny that it worked out that way.
Are you a guy who, that sounds like a leader. You know what I mean? Like that's a guy who realizes that this is a big moment, that guys could be a little nervous here. Is that something that always came to be a part of your game? Or have you kind of developed that as you've gotten bigger and better and become more of a leader?
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, I think I was a leader growing up, but as I got drafted and I was able to take things out of older players' games, I kind of implemented it in my own game, and I wanted to push that to other people and help them out. So I feel like I've always been a leader, but I feel like I've developed into more of a leader as time goes by.
Who were some of the guys that you picked up on different leadership forms that inspired you along the way?
Yeah, well, in London, it was Evan Bouchard, Alex Formenton. And then when I got drafted to Washington, it was guys like Backstrom and obviously Ovi and John Carlson, those guys. So it was just cool being around them and watching how they carry themselves and obviously how great they are at hockey. So it was just a really cool experience for me. And I want to take that with me everywhere I go and hopefully pass it on to the others.
I want to get to that in a minute. But first, coming back this year, so last year, it was weird because last year you're this first-round draft pick. Dale Hunter's the coach at World Juniors, so I figured, oh, this guy's going to be a top-line guy. His coach is coaching the team. And you weren't at the start but eventually got there. What was last year like for you compared to now coming back with experience, having had the season you had at London last year? How different is your mindset?
Yeah, it's obviously a 20-year-old tournament, like they say. So last year, I was kind of considered an underage player on the team. So I kind of had to prove myself and beat guys out for spots. So I know Dale's a great coach, and he for sure knew what he was doing. And I started in the fourth line, and then I worked myself up with injuries, and then I stuck there. So I think I had a pretty good tournament. And then coming into this year, obviously being a returning guy, you kind of have to take on a bigger leadership role and kind of guide the way for others. And I'm hoping to be a big part of this team. So I'm really excited.
Did you really know that Dale for sure knew what he was doing? Or were you like, come on, man, you're my coach. Fine player.
No. I've coached. He's been my coach for 3 years. So I've seen him do a lot of things that people might not agree with at first, but it always seems to work out for him. So you just got to stay patient. He for sure knows what he's doing.
It's funny because I'm old enough to remember him as a player, and I knew, you know, kind of the what he was all about. And then when he coached here for the Caps, I was like, man, this guy, I mean, he was determined to win games 1-0, play the ugliest style of hockey, and just commit to it, and it worked. For you, who's an offensive guy, from 3 years ago when you first started playing with him straight up to probably at some point last year, were there times where you were like, let us off the break, take the governor off and let us go and play some fun hockey?
Yeah, I mean, when I first came to London, I was still a 16-year-old, so I didn't really learn the defensive side of games too much, and I was always just trying to – I thought the biggest part was just scoring goals and creating offense, and then he put me in my place right away and made me learn the game in a different manner. So he's obviously a great coach, and I feel like he lets us off offensively. When we're in the offensive zone, he kind of lets players just use their creativity and their offensive minds. But, yeah, like I said, he'll let you do whatever you want as long as you take care of the D zone. So that's his most important thing.
Is there a fun side to Dale Hunter? Because we didn't see
it. Yeah, sometimes. He's always – I mean, outside of hockey, outside of game days, he's a pretty funny guy. He's always relaxed, and he likes having fun. But when it comes game time, he's serious. He's not going to be joking around. He wants to win more than anyone. So I feel like he has a really good balance with that stuff.
Did you guys pick his brain for any old stories? I mean, I know just being around hockey players, their stories are epic. Have you guys just picked his brain for stuff?
I mean, we've asked him a couple things, but he doesn't like telling us too much stuff. So he kind of likes keeping to himself. But yeah, we for sure just heard stories in the media and just from other people. So he's a really funny guy. So I'm sure he has a lot of funny stories.
Have you learned to appreciate the defensive side of hockey in the full 200-foot game now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said earlier, coming in at 16, I didn't really understand how important the D zone was, and I thought there was offensive players and then there's defensive players. But Dale taught me that there's always got to be a two-way player, and everyone's got to learn the D zone. And obviously, when you play D, the offense will come. So that's what I've kind of translated my game into, and I'm enjoying it a lot better.
I would imagine a kid that grew up in Yorkville always not only dreamed of playing in the NHL, but expected to play in the NHL. At some point, you thought, I'm going to get there. How much did last year change the way you think you can have an impact when you get there?
Yeah, it's cool. As the years go by, you inch closer and closer and to your dream. And for me, it's just really exciting. Obviously, last year I had a pretty good year, and it just excites you and motivates you to keep pushing yourself because you know you're so close. So, yeah, I hope I have a really good year this year if I don't make the team, and just push for that roster spot come next season. And it should be a really fun year with after we get through all this COVID stuff, no matter where I end up playing. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm just curious, when you're in a groove like that, I'm sure you've put up big numbers your whole life, but is it one of those feelings where every time you step on the ice, the goal seems like it's really wide, the puck seems like no one's hitting me clean, I'm really out here able to do what I want?
Yeah, you for sure have a lot of confidence when things start going your way and you have a hot start. So I feel like my start to the season helped me a lot. It gave me a lot more confidence, especially when I was up in Washington, and then bringing that back to London helped me a lot. So yeah, like you said, when you're on the ice, it feels like everything's going your way and you kind of feel unstoppable. So it's a for sure a great feeling.
You know, I was pretty blown away when Todd Reirden said that literally everything he talked with you about during the camp last year, He said, I knew it was sinking in when I was talking to him. This was, he's like, I've been in a lot of rooms and talked to a lot of kids, and you can tell when a kid is just like, shake your hand and walk out. He's like, I knew that it was sinking in. And then to watch him actually do it was remarkable. That's when I knew we had something special here. What was it about seeing that group that you, at your age, knew this is a big year for me and I need to take those lessons and run with them?
I mean, I've always dreamed of playing in the NHL, and Todd was great with me. He told me the truth. He told me what I needed to work on, what I was great at. So, I mean, hearing the things that he wants me to work on means a lot to me. And I kind of just took that back and took it personally and just tried to prove a point that I was listening and that I wanted to take it upon myself that I deserve a spot on the team. So he gave me a couple goals throughout the season, and I think I hit every one of them. So I had a pretty good year, so I'm pretty happy with the way it went.
Not to get into your personal life, but I remember when I first got in this business, I was covering a minor league baseball team. And there was one guy on the team who we knew, like, he could play in the big leagues. He ended up playing there, this guy Willie Harris. A couple of other guys we would see out at night because we were all in our 20s. And we were like, oh, where's Willie Harris? And they're like, ah, man, he's back there. He goes to sleep early every night. He's always working out and stuff. And we would walk away and be like, yeah, that's why he's going to go to the big leagues and you're going to do this. Were there times during the year where you knew you were making sacrifices because it's just too important? I don't want anything to screw up getting to my goal.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like you should have a good balance between fun and work. And I thought I did a pretty good job in that. And obviously I'm not a normal 19, 20 year old. The kids my age would be going out partying, university and stuff. So you kind of have to take a backseat with that stuff. And there's a lot of sacrifices that you have to make, but in the long run, it'll all be worth it. Once you make the NHL, you'll be, it'll be a dream come true. So you'll have no regrets.
What was the bubble like being with those guys during that time?
It was really cool. I mean, Washington just has a lot of great players, a couple Hall of Famers. So, it was just really cool for me being around them. And it was exciting just getting out there to skate with them and just try and learn things from their game and learn stuff from the coaching staff and just watch them in a playoff atmosphere. It was really, really exciting and fun for me.
What about the just sort of seeing how they carry themselves? Look, we've all heard the stories. We know you guys had some fun up there. I don't know how much you were a part of with those guys, but everyone seemed to enjoy themselves. But just the day-to-day of carrying themselves at that time of year, what impressed you or what made the biggest impression on you of what they do on a day-to-day?
Yeah, I think just the biggest thing from junior to the NHL is how serious they are every single day. They know the job that needs to be done, and they're not going to let anything stop them. So just the way they practice, no one's making mistakes. Guys are goofing around on the ice just to keep the mood light, but at the same time, they know there's a job to be done. And I thought that was just a cool thing, how mature the guys are and how serious they know that they have a chance to win the Stanley Cup. So they just got to dial in. And I think that was a big thing for me to see how passionate they were about the game.
2020 has certainly reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical, and Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world, with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. 73% of online job seekers in the U.S. visiting Indeed each month, according to ComScore total visits. So it's clear Indeed can help you get the quality hire you need. That's why more than 3 million businesses worldwide use Indeed for hiring. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit as Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Football is indeed back in full swing, and we are getting towards the playoff chase. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season-opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
What's the speed of a Caps practice compared to something you've experienced before? Do you feel a difference on the ice?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, guys are making passes. They're never missing a pass. So the speed's up, the intensity's up. And in junior, you kind of have a couple guys missing passes or messing up drills, but you don't really see that in the NHL. So you're always going. You always got to be on your toes. And the practices are fast-paced for sure.
Was there a pass that got past you that the guys got on you? Was there a moment where you're like, oh, man, these guys are crazy good?
Yeah, well, there's just a couple of, like, two-on-two drills or two-on-one drills that I go with Nicholas Backstrom, and he'd put the puck on my stick when I wasn't expecting him to. So, I mean, I guess that's just what happens when you're playing with players that good. You always got to be ready for the puck. So, yeah, there's for sure a couple times I messed up. But, yeah, I just wasn't used to receiving passes that good, I guess.
I remember one of the first times I went to a Caps practice and I heard the sound of an Obi-Wan timer. Like, I was like, God, that sounded like a gunshot blast. When you, the first time you were around him, whether it was the camp or in the bubble, what jumped out at you about hearing what a shot like his sounds like?
Oh, it's just crazy. I mean, I remember after practices, he would just be lined up taking one-timers, taking about like 30 one-timers in a row, and I'd just kind of stand and stare. And it was just obviously everyone talks about his one-timer, and just seeing it in person, being on the same ice with him was really cool for me. And I mean, his shot's lethal. So yeah, it was memorizing for sure.
So everyone always says, the goalies we talk to, that it's not just the speed of the shot, but it's the movement of the shot. Like, the puck is moving almost like a knuckleball at like 120 miles an hour. What, you know, how, when you watch it, are you able to see the way he's shooting the puck and admire how he's shooting the puck? And what is it that jumps out?
Yeah, when he shoots the puck, I feel like the puck just, it's going straight, and then at the last second, it'll like elevate up or dip down, and one or the other. So, I mean, his shot's so deceptive, and it's so hard and fast, obviously. So, I mean, that's why he has so many goals in the NHL, and he's going to continue scoring. So, it's really fun just watching him shoot the puck.
Your shot is different. Like, what I've heard from and what I've seen a little bit, it's more like an Austin Matthews quick dart release. Is that a fair comparison?
Yeah, he's one of the guys I like to compare my shot to, just watching his highlights with our coaching staff, just how he uses his hands and his arms and his stick just to be deceptive towards the goalie. I feel like with my shot, I like being more deceptive more than powerful. So, yeah, just he's a guy I like to watch for sure.
So Alan May, when we would watch the highlights, he would rave about the Matthews shot and how deceptive it is. How do you work on that? Or is that just more of like, that's what I do well, so I'm going to continue to build on that? Because Alan was like blown away by how quick he was able to get it off and how deceptive it was.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. It's just your natural talent. And then obviously it's, I think, a little bit of hockey sense factors into it. You just kind of have to fool the goalies with your hand placement or even your elbow placements. Every little detail can throw a goalie off. So, I mean, Austin Matthews is great at looking one way, shooting the other way, or looking five-hole, going top glove. So, yeah, he's just great with that for sure.
Have you worked out with him? Have you done drills with him?
No, I have not.
I know in London you've gotten to work with Dwayne Blaze, who's the skills coach for the Caps. What's so great about the drills and what he puts you guys through that helps your game so much.
Yeah, Blazer focuses on skill work, but I know there's a lot of skill coaches that just do skill work, and but he likes to implement his skill drills into game-like drills, and I think that's a big thing that he does, and that's a thing that a lot of guys appreciate he does, is how he's able to implement game-like drills into the skill work that we do, and he lets us have a little bit of fun after practices as well. So he talks to you personally what you want to work on after practice, and he just spends a lot of time working with guys and just wanting them to get better. So that's what makes him a really good skill and development guy for sure.
Who are there a bunch of NHL guys that you've worked with him through the years? Because I imagine that's a pretty big area for you guys to congregate.
Yeah. Actually, this summer was my first summer actually just working out in London. So I was just like Dylan Cousins, Bo Horvat was there, Max Jones, just a lot of guys from the London area. And a couple of the Knights teammates, my Knights teammates were out there as well. So we had a pretty good group of guys, around 15 guys that would be there every day. And just work out at the gym at that rink and then skate with Blazer after. So it'd be good.
So it sounds like you're a guy who appreciates other players too. Like you watch players, you study players. Just hearing your report there on Austin Matthews, if I said Nathan MacKinnon, what's your scouting report on Nathan MacKinnon?
Just his speed, his hockey sense. He's such a quick release. I mean, he has quick feet. He's able to beat defenders one-on-one with pretty well, just ease. So he's obviously one of the best players in the NHL. And I haven't been able to watch him too much just because he plays in Colorado. It's hard to get games in the Colorado area. But, I mean, he's obviously a great player. I've seen his highlights. And, yeah, his hockey sense and his speed is off the charts.
David Pastrnak?
Pastrnak, he's a great goal scorer. Again, like kind of like Austin Matthews, has a deceptive shot. He's really skilled. He just uses his hockey sense and his shot to beat defenders and beat goalies. So he was a fun one to watch in the bubble as well.
The one guy who I always confuse and say his name when I mean to say your name, and then I'm quickly reprimanded on Twitter, Connor McDavid.
Yeah, obviously he's one of the best players in the NHL, if not the best. So just watching him is unbelievable. He's great at everything. I don't think he has any real weaknesses. So just his speed is unbelievable, his hockey sense, his stick handling is just off the charts. So he's a really fun player to watch for sure.
Leon Draisaitl?
Yeah, Draisaitl is a great one for sure as well. I mean, I kind of noticed how big his stick blade is. It kind of threw me off. He uses a different type of stick than usual, but obviously he's league MVP this year, so he's a great player.
Who's the one or two guys that you love watching the most?
Ever since I got drafted to Washington, I watch Backstrom a lot, especially with Dale. He'll show me a lot of Backstrom clips. And then before that, I watched a lot of Bo Horvat just because the London connection. Our coaches in London loved him, and they show a lot of video of him. So I kind of follow Bo Horvat's career a little bit. And then, like I said, Nicholas Backstrom now is a big one for me.
So what about Backstrom? Because sometimes it looks like – he's just not playing that hard. And I know how ridiculous that is, but like it comes so easy to him that it almost looks like he's not giving 100%. I'm always like, God, I would love to be that good at anything it makes it look so easy when I'm doing it.
Yeah. I mean, for him, he's not the biggest or strongest guy out there. And that's kind of like why I like comparing myself to him, because I'm not the biggest or strongest either. He has a really good stick. He's smart with the puck. His hockey sense is unbelievable. So he's able to get around bigger guys just using his stick and hockey sense. So I love watching him. And yeah, like you said, the game comes easy to him. So sometimes it might not look like he's working the hardest, but you just know he knows what he's doing for sure.
You're a natural center. You've played a lot of wing though at the World Juniors. There's a lot of talk here in DC about if and when you're going to play and if and when you get here, where you would play. Are you comfortable on the wing or as comfortable on the wing as you are at center? And would you be willing to do that if it meant coming to the NHL this year?
Yeah, obviously I'm a little bit more comfortable in center, but I think a big part of my game is how I'm able to adapt to the wing and to the center pretty easily. So last year's World Juniors, I played wing, and my first 2 years in London, I kind of switched back and forth between center and wing. So I'm used to playing the wing, and if that's what it takes to make the big teams roster, that's something I'll do.
Biggest difference between playing wing and playing center?
I think just, I feel like when I play wing, I don't gain too much speed through the neutral zone. I feel like I'm always behind the play. As in center, I'm always in the play. I'm always on the puck. So for me, I just always like having the puck on my stick, and I feel like the center creates more plays, if that makes sense, just through the neutral zone and in the D zone.
Would it be worth it to play wing on the third or fourth line, where you're obviously your skill level isn't going to be utilized as much? They're going to ask you to do something different. Or, and I know it's hard when you're this close and you want to get there, but would you almost rather wait until the time was right? Or would you rather go, and if you have to play 8 minutes a night, you'll figure that out on the fourth line?
Yeah, I think the team, we have really good, smart staff. So, I mean, if they think I'm ready to play a third or fourth line role and just get limited minutes a night, I think that's something I'm ready to do. Or if they want to send me back to London and play top minutes, I'm ready to do that as well. So, I mean, obviously you want to make the NHL, but you also want to take care of your development and not rush things. But for me, my main goal right now is cracking the roster for sure.
Yeah, it's tough because I remember talking with Trevor Gillies. I used to work in the Islanders broadcast, and Trevor Gillies, who's a totally different person than you are, but I remember he'd be a healthy scratch night in and night out. He'd be riding the bike, and I was like, would you rather be here and riding the bike every night or down? And he's like, riding the bike, 1,000%, I'd rather be here. Is it hard to sometimes juggle that thought of, well, I can come play in London again, put up 120 points, or I can maybe play 8 minutes in the NHL? Do you juggle that, or do you go like, nope, NHL, that's where I want to be?
Well, for me, obviously the NHL is my main goal, and that's, like you said, that's where I want to be. But it's really up to the staff what they think is best for my development. And I want to be in the NHL, but if they decide to send me back to London, that's something I'm going to embrace and hopefully lead that team to a deep playoff run and work on my game even more just to hopefully make the team the following year. So no matter what happens, I think it'll be an exciting year for me. And again, just got to try and turn some heads.
Well, I know there's a lot of excitement for when you finally get up here, and hopefully when you come up here, won't be too far behind. There's some real skill level coming now. Best of luck with the rest of the quarantine with Schitt's Creek. I hope you get through it okay. Good luck in the World Juniors, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Yep, thanks for having me on.
Thanks again to Connor McMichael for giving us a good bit of time there to get to know him a little bit. And, you know, look, you can't discount the work that he put in with Dwayne Blaze, who's the skills coach for a lot of people, but for the Caps as well. And, you know, they swore by him the last couple of years, and clearly he's helped McMichael get his game to another level. And, you know, I wasn't trying to get Connor to say something he didn't want to say, because obviously he's going to say he wants to play in the NHL. But it is one of those things where, you know, there have been players over the years who were rushed. I mean, Tom Wilson, maybe to an extent, because he was mismanaged early, because he was just a fighter early. That, you know, maybe there was a year or two of development that didn't go as quickly as it could have. He's a great player. He's a top-line player. He's a Stanley Cup champion, future captain of the team. All in all, not that big. But, I remember with the Islanders, they rushed Josh Bailey, and they set him back years. He wasn't ready, physically or mentally, and those are bad teams. And I think that stunted the growth of the player. Now he's a very good player. He was really good. The Caps saw him in the playoffs. He was very good. One of the best players on the ice for the Islanders. But it took a long time to get there, all because the first few years were grossly mismanaged. So I wasn't trying to get him to say, like, no, hell no, I want to be in the NHL. Or say, nah, I'd rather go play in London again and put up big numbers. I was hoping he'd be honest, and I think he was. That, you know, it is tough because you do want to. And it's on the coaching staff, 100%. But, you know, this kid's going to go play major minutes at London. Does that help his development more than being a 9 minute per night, and, you know, and maybe less, because, you know, the leash would be short. Even if he's playing third line minutes, the leash would be short for a kid. There's not a lot of learning that can happen with the Caps. They got to win now. So think about if he came in and I don't even know where they can put him in. Like, I, other than fourth line, I'm not sure, unless you drop Haglund down, take Ponick out of the lineup and put him on the third line. But again, he better be defensively responsible for the Caps right now, because Peter Laviolette's not going to have a long leash. So is it worth it to put him in that situation where there is potential of setting him up to fail a little bit? Hopefully you're setting him up to start his career. But if he's not quite ready, you know, are you setting him up to fail a little bit? And then, so maybe they take that, you know, first few games, give him a 6-game test run, see what he can do. I don't know. I don't know what the right thing to do is. I tend, because of where the team is and where the player is, I'd rather see him go to London and come in next year fully ready to be an impact player, or at least start to be an impact player for the Caps, rather than sticking him on a third line or even a fourth line and doing something that he's not great at. But he's certainly impressed by Hendrix LaPierre too. He's an intelligent player, and that's important, because it's not just the skill, it's understanding what to do with that skill. And it sounds like LaPierre has that already. He's probably a year or two behind McMichael now in his development. But all of a sudden, you look up and the Caps have some good, young, impact-type players in the system, and they haven't had that since I've been covering this team, short of maybe a Jacob Brana. So good to see for the Caps, and good drafting late in the first round from the last couple of years has got them some players. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Connor McMichael. I certainly did. He's a good kid. Can't wait to see him in a Caps uniform. Again, download, subscribe, leave a rating, write a review. All helps get the word out about the Capitol Building Podcast. I am your host, Rob Carlin. We'll talk again soon. Let's go, Caps.